We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
This is episode number 497 with New York Times best-selling author Grant Cardone.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
We have an incredible individual in the house today at the School of Greatness Studios here in Los Angeles. His name is Grant Cardone, and he is an internationally renowned business and sales expert. He is the author of 7 sales and business books, including the New York Times bestseller, If You're Not First, You're Last. He's a creator of customized sales training programs for Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, success-minded individuals, and entrepreneurs. He's a dynamic speaker. He's been featured on a lot of major press, and he is one of the most authentically aggressive individuals I've seen online. He's got a massive following of millions of followers on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and everywhere online. He is a love him or hate him type of guy. And he's a guy that I've really enjoyed to get to know over the years and someone that I've actually learned a ton from. He is extremely successful at making lots and lots of money. So in this episode, we talk about the real reason why Grant is obsessed with making money, and why you should be as well, why people hate sales, and how to teach kids a better mindset around this principle, how to avoid getting stuck being in the middle class, why you should not save your money, the importance of doing work that you hate, and so much more that we dive into. We talk about his relationship experience with his wife and how he's built in his work and marriage experience together. We cover so many powerful things, guys. This blew me away, and I think it's going to blow you away as well. So make sure you share this episode with your friends, lewishowes.com/497. Now, without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, Grant Cardone. Welcome, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got Grant Cardone in the house, who is one of my favorite people.
Come on, man. Come on,
good
man.
To see you, man.
You know it's mutual.
I'm super grateful you're here. We just did a mastermind weekend where I saw you were in town.
Yep.
You landed on your jet, and I was like, oh, he's in L.A. We got to get him to come do a Q&A with my group of entrepreneurs. And you just blew the house up. You mean, people were so inspired by your story about – And I think the thing that got the...
You had a good audience, man. You had a great audience.
Great audience.
I told you outside, I said, look, the speaker's only as good as the audience is.
That's true.
I've always believed that.
Yeah. They were super engaged. And I think the thing I love about you the most is you're, what did I call it? Like, you're unapologetically...
Authentically aggressive
or something like that.
It was AA, man. I said, dude, we're going to an AA meeting, man. We're going to have 12 steps,
authentically,
man.
Aggressive or something like that. I think it's just you have... You're so clear on your dream. You're so clear on your vision, and nothing is going to get in the way. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, you hurt people's feelings or if.
I'm not trying to. Like, when you say that, though, I'm like, man, do people think I'm trying to hurt their feelings?
No, I know you're not trying to. You got a good heart.
Nor am I trying to, like the whole hustle and the grind thing. And I'm not trying to hustle. I'm not trying to grind. I'm not thinking about, oh, I got to go into freaking beast mode now. You know, this is how I operate. This isn't an Instagram post. You know, it's not like, hey, look at, you know, I'm in beast mode or I got to grind. You know, somebody said yesterday, they said, man, you're the most positive person that I know. And I'm like, dude, really? I'm not really. I'm not really a very positive person. But I don't think good things just happen. I think for me to ever, you know, have a good outcome, I've just had to work really hard, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get on the front of a magazine easily.
Right.
I'm going to have to work at that, man.
Yeah. Hey, I work at it too.
I know you do. I know you do. But it's kind of like Elena, right? Elena's got this magic. you know, my wife, she's got this, things go, they just go differently for her. Me, I got to like, you know, I have to push.
Have you ever thought about like just taking a step back and letting things come
yeah,
to you?
Yeah, 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 I have.
What happens when you try to just like?
I try for about 28 minutes.
And what happens?
And then I get terrified, man. Really? I'm like, dude, you got to get it. You got to get back in the game. Mm. You know, it's like LeBron. Why does this guy wait?
Until he's down. Yeah.
You know?
Just get ahead.
Right. And so my life has kind of felt like it's always been hard, man. Everything's been hard.
Really?
Baseball player as a kid, sales guy, hated sales. Mm-hmm. Deals are hard. I have to push them through.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think would make them easy for you? What would you need to do to change it up?
You know, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm willing to let the concept in because, you know, I got this thing kind of working now.
Do you feel like you enjoy that it's hard then? Like if it's not hard, then you're not actually doing something meaningful
maybe,
to you.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, but you know, I'm just really hard on myself. Like, you know, somebody said, man, you're hard on people. I said, dude, I'm hard on me.
Why are you so hard on yourself? You're so successful and you've achieved so much.
Because I believe in my potential. Mm. You know, I this isn't a positive attitude thing. I believe in my potential. I'm probably one of the most honest people I know.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I just can't fake it. Like they say, fake it till you make it. I've never been able to do that. Like that's not even like, dude, why fake it till you make it? Why don't you just make it? You know, why take the extra step of faking it? Like become somebody, you know, learn a skill. And so I just can't, when I'm around somebody who's ripping people off, you know, which is a tremendous amount of that, like a lot of copying. You know, somebody said copying is the highest form of flattery. I'm like, no, dude, it's thievery. It's stealing. That's what it is, you know. So I just believe in my potential. And I don't know whether it was because I'm a twin. Mm-hmm. Identical twin, and I, you know, I could see his potential. I mean, imagine my whole life ever since I've been however small, right? Just a micro, like a little tiny cell, I have been reflecting off of another cell. And maybe I could, because I could always see my identical twins, my brother Gary's, I could always see his potential. I'm like, my God, dude, the power this dude's got is amazing.
Wow.
And I remember being like 4 or 5 years old, maybe three, maybe it was like baby young, right? And 3 or 4 years old. And I had the power for like 3 years. And then he got it. And I realized that I didn't have it anymore. I'm like, damn, he just got this thing, dude. Whatever that thing is, right? And so I referred to it as potential. What is my potential? It's always intrigued me. You know?
What is your potential?
I don't know, man, but it's more than I'm doing. So that's why I'm hard on myself, because I'm honest about my potential. I know I can do more.
What if you reach your potential? Would you say, well, I know I could do more?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. I think that's the spiritual genius of whatever this unbeknownst, you know, unidentifiable power in this universe is. Mm-hmm. Is that like, and I'm a very spiritual person, actually. Most people don't see that in me because they see all this, you know, this thing that I put on. But maybe that's what's really intrigued me. You know, it's not money. It's not, oh, how can I get a bigger jet? I mean, I like all that stuff, but it's never been, oh, I'm going to write a book and it's going to be a bestseller. It's been about this unidentifiable potential that drives me, this interest in how much could I do, you know? And then I see guys like Elon Musk saying, hey, let's go to Mars, man, you know, or Henry Ford saying, let's make cars when everybody was satisfied with horses. You know, I see the stuff you do, man. I get inspired. You're on the front cover of a magazine, bro. I'm like, damn, why am I not on the front cover? And it's not a competitive thing with me, right? It's you inspire my potential, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think of Elon Musk, I feel like I'm doing nothing.
Let's be honest.
What am I doing? This guy's creating jets.
We're ants.
Hyperloops, like, or whatever he's doing, like all this other stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I just think that the more I get to hang out with you, I really appreciate you. And I'm not trying to like create a love fest here.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But I think that so many people don't understand you.
Yeah. And I've done a terrible job, dude. I've done a terrible job.
Because you're one way online, essentially. You know, you kind of put out this persona that's very aggressive, I would say.
Well, look, when I start riffing into a piece of data, right? So when I start saying the middle class, for instance, mm-hmm. the middle class is doomed, and that that there is none, and that it's a lie. My position is so strong that because I'm, it's not like I'm trying to shove anything down anybody's throat. I just know this is true, man. I'm trying to convince people, and I do it terribly, right? So, when I started my first career was sales. So I was
selling cars originally.
I was selling cars.
Yeah.
I sold furniture. I was 17 years old when I sold clothes and furniture and fucking hated it, dude. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing about sales that I liked. Okay. I didn't like talking to people, didn't like meeting people, didn't like get on common ground. And I'm sitting there thinking all the time, well, and because they teach you all this stuff in sales, like, mm-hmm. like your first impression's the most important. I'm like, well, then I'm fucked because I make a bad first impression almost every time.
Yeah.
So I didn't believe that. I said, that can't be true. Because I was still selling some of these people. My wife, she wouldn't go out with me for 13 months. Mm-hmm. So I observe things that I don't think are true, right? I have this ability to observe things that just aren't true. Like people buy from people they like. I'm like, did people buy from me? I bought stuff from people I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Why did you buy from them?
Just to get it done.
Yeah.
People buy from people they like. The longer you spend with somebody, the better off they are. I'm like, I'm not. The longer you spend with me, the less... It's going to get worse now.
You want to sell them now.
Well, no, I'm just saying I don't want to take 5 hours getting there. When I go to buy something, I want to buy it. I don't want to meet you. That's not my deal. But this was what was in all these books, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, this can't be true. You know, that this is not, it wasn't true to me, right? So anyway, I got great at sales my way. And then I went out to tell car dealers they were doing it wrong. And that's what I did wrong. Yeah. I said, you guys are doing it wrong. And they're like, dude, we make billions of dollars.
Right.
We're not going to change this. And I kept telling them, you're wrong. You're wrong. Well, I was early on the cycle. And this was before Lexus and before the internet and before data and before TrueCar. And I was going around the country telling car dealers. Very, very difficult audience to call them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not like your group the other night.
Right.
These are highly egotistical A-type personalities, rich on top of all that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you guys are doing it wrong, man. And they wouldn't listen to me, right? So the point of that is that I tend to say it wrong. Mm. I don't say things. Like, you're very easy to listen to, you know? Like, when I'm around you, I'm like, dude, I need to be more like Lewis House. You know, I've told Elena that 3 or 4 times. I'm like, I need to learn from Lewis. I got to figure out how to, like, gently come in rather than just crashing down the door. The door was open.
Right.
And I still go blowing it like glocking. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yeah. You know?
But so, you're getting results and it's been effective with your approach. So I think, I think I can learn from you on certain approaches. Yeah. You can learn from whoever. And
yeah.
And I'll learn from different people. But what you're doing has worked for you to get specific results. Results don't lie.
Yeah.
You've been effective at getting results.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I think... there's always something we can learn, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
going, if I went back, right, I'm mm-hmm. like, dude, there were so many mistakes I made, you know?
What were the biggest?
Well, that was one, just presenting it wrong, you know? I was presenting, what? What? Not going big enough. Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Not going big enough was definitely.
Early on, you mean?
Yeah.
In terms of what? Not going big enough where?
Well, I picked the wrong career to start with.
Oh, with cars?
Definitely. You know, the pool wasn't big enough, mm-hmm. you know, and it was way, way, way beyond. When I have customers telling me, dude, what are you doing this for? You know, but I was good at it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got great at it, even though I hated it.
But I think also you have to become like great at one specific niche and master that thing. And that was just the vehicle.
Yeah.
I guess no pun intended to get to where you're at.
Yeah. But look, I mean. You know, people should pick the right vehicle. Mm. You want to pick something, looking back, I want to pick something that's got a lot of scale to it.
What could it have been? Real estate early on, or?
Could have been real estate. Could have been Wall Street. Mm. Could have been recruiting people. Like if I was looking for a job today, I'd go into recruiting. Okay. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
I'd look at recruiting. I'd look at, I'd probably, if I was coming, like if I died today and could reincarnate tomorrow, I'd come back as a hedge fund guy. Mm. Cause I do want to make a lot of money. Like, and that's one thing that I've done a decent job of making clear.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to you, how can we make some money, man? Come on, let's make some money, you know? And the reason why I like the money thing is because, and the more I do it, the more I realize, dude, this bugs people bad.
It does.
It bugs people.
Growing up, I know you were the same way. No one liked to talk about it.
Dude, you
know,
don't talk about it.
We didn't have a lot of money, and it was always like, It was this taboo thing. And, talk about how much, who would talk about how much they make? Like,
dude, taboo.
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
And the people that wouldn't talk about it were the people that don't tell anybody what you make. Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody, you know, what you paid for the house. Don't tell anybody anything. And I'm like, dude, look around, man. You guys got money problems. All these people giving this advice don't have any money. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about God. Don't talk about money. Don't talk about politics. Don't sell your friends. Don't talk to strangers. And I'm like, shit, I can't talk about anything to anyone. Right? And then you wonder why people can't talk to anybody and why they hate sales. They hate sales because you were told as a kid not to communicate to anyone about anything. So,
I love this, what you said at the dinner. You said you teach your kids to talk to strangers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've got your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They've got something you're going to want.
They have opportunity. They have open, they have doors. You know, it's, you know, there's so much conflicting data, right? Like, don't talk to strangers, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how am I going to meet these people if I don't talk to them?
Right.
So, you know, look, a lot of this, and this goes back to this middle class concept. It's just the middle class is because the data is wrong. Mm. Okay. The data, the information is so wrong for today, for where we're at in the 21st century, in the year 2017. The data, it save your money. Completely outdated concept, you know?
What should people be doing with their money?
They shouldn't be saving it. They should be using it. Money is to be used. You know, the saving thing, the middle class is basically built hundreds of millions of people in America that are either worried about money or a miser. They're constantly worried, fearful of it. They get a little bit, they're worried about it. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, how many people do you know that turned into misers? The rich uncle that died with a couple million dollars and nobody knew it because he would never go to Starbucks.
Right.
Look at how successful the Millionaire Next Door book was, mm-hmm. because it basically said, look, the millionaires are the people that don't spend any money.
Yeah.
They buy the used truck that they didn't
have. The car is 20 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they don't go to Starbucks because that's $4. And if you don't go to Starbucks, you know, for the next 30 years, $4 a day for 30 years, 80 grand.
Right.
You live in Los Angeles, man, 80 grand, you're still broke. So, you know, the data, the information today needs to be, you know, the thing about knowledge is power. And that's why I loved your audience the other night so much because, you know, they want the right knowledge, mm-hmm. not any knowledge.
Yeah,
a lot of people listening online, you'll go for any knowledge. All knowledge is not created equal. Mm-hmm. Some of it's garbage, okay? And that garbage can hold you down. And so I think your question was, what would I do if I came back? Man, I want to come back with the right data, number one. I want to come back with the right information that says, bro, go get rich. Like, what if that was the battle cry from the beginning? Mm-hmm. Go find a vehicle that will make you super rich so you could actually make a super difference, because mm-hmm. you're not doing it without money. Elon Musk, he's got that option. Mm-hmm. He's got influence and he's got money.
Yeah.
And he's got courage. Like that's a triple threat right there, you know?
Yeah. What would you say to the people that you know, they don't want to get as rich? They don't want to work as hard? You
have the wrong data. You are under the spell. You're in a long-term meditation that somebody put on you. You're under a spell of money won't make you happy. No, dude, you're not happy now. Money buys groceries, okay? Money takes care of medical bills. I mean, this idea, this is the number one thing I hear from people. Well, I don't need to be rich. Dude, you don't even know what you're talking about. You do need to be rich. Poor people are selfish. People that just get by are selfish. You're selfish because you're always talking about yourself. Listen to what the guy says. I said, man, you need to get rich, man. No, I don't need to get rich. That dude, you're talking about you. But what about your church? What about the community? Okay. What about all the little kids you could help, dude?
Family.
What about people in Africa? What about all the water problems you talk about? Okay. Say, rich people can literally change the world. Poor people cannot do that. Okay. Because they're too consumed with their own 24 inches around them.
Their own world.
I need
world.
To eat,
their
dude. Inner,
yeah.
I need to eat. Now, I learned this when I was in an unemployment line when I was 23 years old. I was in the unemployment line. My uncle says, son, what are you doing? I said, oh, man, I was so ashamed. I was like six back from the counter getting ready to get my first check. And he drove up. He's like, what are you doing here? My Uncle Vincent, my good uncle. And I said, well, man, I'm getting a check, man. I'm getting a check. He's like, dude, you didn't go to college to be in an unemployment line. Let's go sell some cars. I'm going to get you a job selling cars. I said, dude, I didn't go to college to sell cars. He says, you didn't go to college to be in this line either. He got me out of that line.
You didn't get the check.
I didn't. Never got that check.
Wow.
And I'm so glad I didn't get it. And then I went and took a job that I hated. And hated it, dude. I hated it for 2 years until I quit fighting it. And I said, I'm going to get good at this job, and then I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave a job I hate. One of the best things I've ever done in my whole life was learn to get great at something you hate.
Why?
Because if you can't do the things you hate, dude, every day you and I are required to do something we hate. That wall right there, the School of Greatness wall, that wall is full of people that did. That's when I see them, I'm like, I wonder how many things they did they didn't want
to
do.
To get them where they're at, though.
Exactly. I do things every single day I don't want to do.
What are the main things?
Sometimes it's waking up. I'm like, God damn.
You love sleep.
I just want to sleep, man. I'd like to sleep in for another hour today.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, different things. You know, I don't like traveling across the country to go speak. You know, I'd much rather be like, you know, whatever that what is it they do on
Transported.
Yeah, I want to be just like instantly transported. You know, there's a lot of things I don't like making sales calls. I don't like calling. I'm pitching CNBC on this thing right now. I don't like pitching people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the audition process.
But you got to do certain things you don't like to get to where you want to be.
Totally. And you need to get great at the stuff you don't like, because if you can get great at that stuff, you know, dude, you're gonna be a threat. LeBron doesn't want to go play the fifth game tonight.
He doesn't want to go back to Golden State to do it either.
But he's willing to.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope he wins.
Yeah, well, that'll be history by the time somebody listens to this.
I know.
Whoever's listening will already know, dude, what's wrong with Lewis?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Lewis, man? He doesn't know what happened?
Exactly. So we talked about why people should get rich. What's the best way people can get rich? And what does rich mean? How much is rich?
I'm talking about money now. I'm just talking about money. Yes. We're not talking about spiritual freedom.
No, just financially.
Because look, if you get a bunch of money and you're still like, you still don't
miserable
know,
inside, then it doesn't matter as much.
But I'd still rather be rich.
It helps.
By the way, let me just say this.
Absolutely.
Okay? Let's make it clear.
No.
If I'm going to be miserable, I want some money to go with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know.
To at least get rid of some problems.
Yeah.
You're not going to get rid of the inner problem.
No. And it's going to probably be worse. It's probably going to be magnified. Like if you're on a global 6,000. And you got to fly 15 hours and you freaking hate yourself. I mean, it's going to be freaking, it's going to be
miserable.
Real bad. But dude, that's better than being in a middle seat on aisle 37.
That's true.
You know, so at least give yourself the choice, right?
Yeah.
So
what does it mean to be rich? How much are we talking about? Because
just money. If we're talking about money,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I think you probably need 20.
20 million. Then you're rich.
You need 20 million. You probably need 20. Now, the problem with this, okay. This is where everybody hates the podcast now. See, the problem is nobody wants to like confront the real magnitude of the mathematics. And that's why people are like, that's ridiculous shit. No, what you're saying is you can't imagine how to get to 20 million. See, I wish somebody had told me this in accounting. I went to accounting I spent 5 years getting an accounting degree. I only went there for one reason. I thought they were going to teach me how to account. I thought it was a freaking money course. Okay.
No.
I'm thinking in the fifth year, dude, it took me 5 years to get out of this course. I'm thinking this year they're going to teach me about the money. There's nothing about money. And the only reason I went to that course was to figure out, dude, how do you make money? How do you keep money? How do you multiply money? The basic money class.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you just do the math, a guy's like, oh man, 80 grand, I'm good. 80 grand. Another guy's like 100 grand and I'm good. They haven't done the math. Another person says, if I just have $1 million, I'm good. But you haven't done the math, the actual math, you know? Like, how much money is that really? You know, 100 grand in Los Angeles, 13,000 goes to the state, you have $87,000, okay? Half that goes to the federal government, you're at $42,500. I've done the math.
Yeah.
Okay, you're at 42,500. You go to Whole Foods once a week just to take care of your little baby girl and your wife, you're broke. Okay, so you're broke, okay? And we hadn't handled the healthcare issue.
Right.
Trump care, Obamacare, you don't care if you don't get your money right. I mean, that's the facts.
Yeah.
So most people have never done the math. There is no school on it. There's no class on it. Why not?
Is that?
Why, man?
So frustrating.
But do you know how many people the middle class support? How many bad, awful groups?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just think about it, man. Like if the middle class, if 215 million people in America knew the truth and they weren't sitting there saying, but look at my two cars. Look at my two little girls, and I got dresses for them. And look at people in Ethiopia. They're starving. You went over to Africa. You know, compare their situation to our middle class. Everybody here is rich, including the guy on the street corner that's a panhandler.
Absolutely.
Right? So why is the freaking killer question. Hmm. Why have so many people been put under the spell of the middle class? That is who determines who's the president of a country.
Right.
Look what happened in this last election. Mm-hmm. Okay. That middle class is starting to get a little edgy right now. They're starting to be like, dude, I hadn't had a good job. I hadn't had a freaking pay raise. You keep talking about unemployment going down. Where's my money? Okay. I don't get anything at the bank. I earn 0.5% at the bank. So your mom, my mom, I watched my mom earn 12% at the bank. She earned 1% a month on her money. Mm. So the battle cry back then was save your money. Because you could earn something.
Right.
Save your money today. What do you get?
Nothing.
Nothing.
You lose
dude.
Money.
You lose money. Okay.
Yeah.
So
inflation is. Yeah.
Don't take a risk. Don't take a chance. Diversify. Why would I diversify? Why rich people do not diversify. Okay. The wealthiest people on this planet, when they went into trains, they went all in on the trains. Mm-hmm. When Henry Ford went into cars, he didn't diversify. He went all in on cars. Elon Musk, he's going all in on solar. Right? That's how you make hits. But the middle class is taught what? Put a little here, put a little here, put a little here, put a little here. Put 27 different things out there. Why? Who benefits from 27 investments?
Those people.
Wall Street.
Yeah.
Okay. Start early. Okay. Get a KEO account. Get an IRA. Who benefits? Freaking Wall Street, dude. All that money gets pushed over there for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So
where do you put your money then, personally?
Well, let me just say this.
Yeah.
If they offer it to you, okay, it's like insurance in Vegas at a blackjack table. You know, when they got an ace up and they're like, you want insurance? Dude, if they offer it to you in Vegas, this is what my mama told me. She's like, if they offer it to you, don't take it. Mm. So if Wall Street offers something to you, it's probably not good for you. Mm. So where do I put my money? I put my money, number one, where I have total control. Number two, where it is indestructible. Like the investment has to be indestructible. So I'm indestructible, right? I can invest in me, mm-hmm. and I'm in control of that investment. That's the first that I would tell everybody, like, don't even invest. Don't even think about a financial investment until you have 100 grand set aside. Mm. And until then, you got 5, you got 10, you got 22, you got 50. Just keep reinvesting that money in yourself, mm-hmm. courses, classes, whatever. And until you're taking the action necessary, the money will show up at the bank. If you keep investing in you, the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is where the money goes, okay, the money's got to go into something indestructible. No technology can wipe it out. And it needs to be very simple for me. Like so simple that I can explain in one sentence.
So what's that?
Well, it's not Bitcoin. Because yeah. I can't get my head wrapped around the cryptocurrency. And most people can't explain it to me.
But you're receiving payments from Bitcoin.
I will take your crypto.
Yeah.
I'll take it, but I'm not going to invest in it.
Yeah.
I'll take anything, dude. I'll take your donkey.
Yeah. You know? Sure.
So my office feels differently about that, but because we had this phone call like, hey, will you take 50,000 in Bitcoin? And Sherry was like, no. Jared's like, no. I'm like, hey, dude, take that money, son. Mm. Okay. Take that freaking
exchange. If it's that or
whatever,
nothing.
Man, dude, yeah. dude. Take it, man. Don't tell people no. Mm. Figure out how to make it all right to say yes to it. So, what was your question? You said, well, so
what are you putting it in then?
Yeah. I mean, I load up. Everybody knows I'm loading up in real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, I buy apartment buildings. And so the simple thing is I buy a place where somebody has to live. They rent it from me and they're going to rent it from me for years. And that's going to pay down the debt on that place. I don't own homes. I don't buy houses. I buy rental property that people have to live in that they want to live in because they're great properties. They're really nice properties. And it's affordable living. It's not this $5,000 a month,
right.
you know, stuff that you live in.
Right.
It's affordable, $1,100 a month, great neighborhoods, great properties, safe environments. We go in and improve them, fix them up, happy living, take care of people. Mm-hmm. We don't abuse anybody. I don't do any government programs.
Right.
Even though there's a lot of money in them. And I know that money will be there for my kids 30 years from now. I mean, that money will be there 100 years from now.
So you put 100% of your investments in that, or either in yourself, your team,
real estate. In my business, in myself, my business. Every surplus penny, twice a year I go broke. Hmm. Twice a year I'm like, put it all in.
Really into real estate?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it's gone.
And then you have to regenerate.
I got to go back and, but literally I'm... like real estate guys, there's a saying with real estate guys, don't ever go to dinner with them because they never have any cash on them. I'm broke right now.
Really?
We're going all in right now. So I go.
You're buying a big unit or big units, right?
I exhaust my reserves. And then we got to go back out and say, okay, let's go again.
Really?
Let's go sell a book. Let's go get a millionaire booklet out there in the marketplace. Because there's nobody that I know in our space that will push as hard for a $9 product as I will.
I don't know anyone.
Right? Nobody.
I don't know anyone.
Nobody. I'll go from one.
Tim Sykes.
Yeah.
He pushes pretty hard. Do you know who he is?
He won't drop down to like a $3 product, dude.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. But
I mean, you can come to one of my seminars, you'll see me at the back table freaking selling $2 stickers.
So why is that?
Because it's a flow, dude. It keeps the flow going. Okay. It's about money's about it's a cycle. Circulation. This has to happen for you to have money. And the bigger the circulation, you know. I was in Australia. I was on this dive. It was a 9-day dive, live aboard. We didn't see land for 8 days.
Wow.
Dude, I saw so much activity underneath, right, at 80 feet and 100 feet. Like, there was economies without any money, tremendous economies where they're trading food, right? I mean, there's all this activity. Giant tunas. I mean, a grouper bigger than this wall right here, where there was this food, right? There's just this cycle of food and ecosystem. And that's what the economy is. The economy is basically an ecosystem of people that either have confidence or don't have confidence, you know, screaming and yelling. That's why I like New York. I love New York because you could feel that energy. I like a circus because, you know, you got the guy hawking. You know Ed McMahon? You remember Ed McMahon?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Johnny Carson. He was the opener for Johnny Carson. A lot of you might. How old are you?
34.
Yeah. So you probably don't even know who Ed McMahon was. Ed McMahon. Freaking, he was the opener for Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson preceded Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And the other dude.
The Late Show or whatever, right?
Yeah,
or
exactly. Yeah, yeah. He was the ultimate. Show or,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ed McMahon was his opener.
The guy who hyped him up.
Yeah.
To the crowd.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Right? And that went on for 30 years, dude. I grew up with that in my household, right? So, black and white. And Ed McMahon, his first job was a barker in a circus. Where he'd like be like, right over here. You see him in the Home Depots, right? To the Vitamix machine. Ladies and gentlemen, come on over, okay? Have something to do, right? They're pitchmen. They're dragging audiences, which is such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And so many people today are unwilling to do that. Like, no, I'm not going to do that, you know? Look at the actors and actresses in this town that wait for the audition. Mm. Wait for the phone to ring rather than show up cold to an audition and say, I know. I'm not on the list. They have to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that takes balls.
Balls.
Big time. Okay.
Wow. So you're selling $2 stickers and $200,000 programs and anything in between. It doesn't matter to you.
And in November, we raised $15 million for the real estate. So,
for a fund you're doing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, who do you know that can go from $1 to $15 million bucks in a freaking, in literally like just that fast?
Wow.
One thing is because I'm an ethical person. Like I think people need that sticker. I think people need that book. I think people need to invest with me because I'm not going to rip them off. I am in control of that property. Somebody has to be in control. Mm-hmm. So to the degree that you are a person, I believe, is ethically like clean hands, is to the degree that they can pitch full on.
So you can sell hardcore, as hard as you want, as much as you want.
And if you can't, there's something.
Mm-hmm.
Either in your present or in your past that you're still uncomfortable with.
Mm.
Something.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're too pitchy ever? Do you feel like, maybe I was too aggressive?
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard that before. I've heard that before from people that didn't buy from me. Only from people that didn't buy from me.
Mm.
People that buy from me never complain about me being too pushy.
What do you think about the people that never buy from you but are following you and commenting and...
I just either hadn't pitched it right, hadn't found the right time to pitch him, or they haven't seen the right product yet, you know.
Right.
So
the biggest.
Or maybe they're never going to buy from me. I mean, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. Well.
You know.
And how did you sell your wife?
Well,
share that story because it was really powerful for people at the dinner.
You know, it took 13 months. I had to pitch her for 13 months. I'll tell you how I sold her. I sold her the way I get everything done. I just commit first. I commit. I go all in, dude. What's that place we're working out? What's the name of it?
Equinox.
You know, they have commit to something. That's their saying. Their motto is commit to something. I'm like, dude, that's a bad idea. Okay. Commit to the right things. Like, don't just commit to something. I was committed to drugs for 9 years of my life.
Mm.
Like, to at one point, it had me. I didn't have it anymore. I couldn't even make the commitment. I didn't have a choice. So, Elena, I was in San Diego, California. I lived in La Jolla. Mm-hmm. Nobody leaves La Jolla to come to LA.
Right.
Nobody goes north like that. Okay. So, I'm living in La Jolla. I'm in a oceanfront house. It was a dream house.
Beautiful.
It was a Playboy's mansion. Like, no woman ever walked into this house and escaped with her virginity or her sexuality or anything. Okay.
Yes.
They all left feeling good about themselves. Yes. But you could come with as much resistance as you wanted in this house. This house had a magical spell on all women. Okay. And so one day I need to leave San Diego. Hmm. I wanted to get married. I was 35 years old and I desperately wanted to get married. And I had met enough women in San Diego to know that she wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm like, I'm going to sell the house. That's how I do things. Called a realtor up, said, let's sell the house. Okay. She's like, well, how much you want for it? I said, well, I want all I can get for it, but I want to sell it immediately. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to Los Angeles. I had this idea that my wife was in Los Angeles. I knew she wasn't there. That's all I knew. She's not there. I think she's in LA. I'm going to go to the big city. So sold the house, like almost right away, got all the money, and left a life I had, dude. I knew everybody in Los Angeles, every restaurant I'd walk into. I was like the mayor in La Jolla, and knew everybody, right? Had it made, which was one of the reasons I had to leave, right? So
getting comfortable.
Yeah, totally, totally like complacent. Drove up here, had all my stuff in a car, had everything else shipped. Didn't know where I was going to stay.
Mm.
Had no clue where I was going to stay. Never been here. Never met anybody here. Didn't know one person here, dude. Didn't make a phone call. Didn't check it out. Didn't even Google it, going to Los Angeles. I just followed, like, I'm going.
Mm.
And met her the first night I was here.
No way.
Met her in a RV. She was on a shoot. They were shooting this TV commercial. And met her. Got her number from the director. I said, hey, give me your number. He said, I can't do that. I said, oh, yeah, you can do it, and you will do it. It's when is it going to happen?
Right.
Now, later, just make it easy on yourself.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Kill yourself in 5 games. So
get ahead while you can.
He gave it to me. I called her. Nothing to do with me, dude. It was like she didn't even meet me.
You guys didn't meet at all before
that? No, we met. She didn't see me.
Oh, you met for like a minute, and she was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I saw her. She didn't see me.
Mm.
So I called her the next day. Zero interest. I mean, less than zero.
Did she pick up? No.
I talked to her.
Okay.
I'm saying, hey, I'm in, you know, I'm done. I'm good. You know, I could tell. I just, you know. And so called my mom right after she hung up on me. I said, man, I met my wife. I know who I'm going to marry. Wow. And my mom's like, well, where have y'all gone out? And I said, no, she wants nothing to do with me. And my mom said, granted, it takes two. You know, that's the beautiful thing about parents, man. They can teach you good stuff and bad stuff. You got to know which one they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents have limited data. Yeah. Just know what they're bad at, know what they're good at. My mom was a good mom. She was terrible at advice like that. Because when she said, it takes two, I'm like, oh, I hung up. I said, thanks, mom. I said, I know she's wrong. It takes one person. One. It doesn't take two. One person's got to be committed. And I just sat and said, I'm just going to keep calling her. I'll just keep calling her. I'll just keep calling her until, you know, called her for 26 times for 13 months. Literally write it down. 14 days would come by. It's call day.
And were you dating other girls? Or
oh, kinda, shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was staying in practice, man. Got to keep it tuned.
Sure, sure.
You know? but now that being said, 26 phone calls, okay?
13 months.
The 26th phone call, I'm like, hey, look, I'm going to rent a shooting club. Okay. I'm going to rent the whole place for me and you to go shooting.
Huh.
I heard you like to shoot. I heard you like to shoot. Stupid me didn't ask what she liked. So trying to knock the door down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she calls him right back. You're going to go shooting? You like to shoot? I said, yeah. This was on a Thursday. I think it was on a Thursday. I said, yeah, I got it rented for Saturday. I didn't. Don't tell her. You know, so she hates that. No. So she's like, I'll go with you. I said, great. I'll pick you up at 9 o'clock. Okay. I hang up with her. I called this chick that I was going out with the next night. I said, we're off.
Wow.
Okay. And she's like, what? Why? What's it? I said, I'm going out with my wife.
Dang.
She's like, you're married? I said, no, but I'm going to be. So that's that thing about, man, you got to commit, man.
Wow.
You know, you got to commit. And some of that means giving up something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
giving up with something really good to get something really great.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to, you know, and I think a lot of people right now are like, they're talking, they're reading stuff, they're looking at quotes, man, you got to find something in you about that's a commitment that's so deep, you know, that it's not about money anymore, but mm-hmm. that the commitment's so deep that you should be rewarded for it. And you know that LeBron should be rewarded.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, and Steph Curry should be rewarded big time, right? I mean, like, if you're going to hit that kind of commitment, you should be rewarded. You should literally have gold thrown at your footsteps. You
right.
should, you know, you should,
right.
which is freedom, basically.
Yeah.
Like so much money that you get, you know, somebody said once, they said, look, you want, when money can solve your problems, you don't have that problem anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the purpose of money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Do you feel like people can make money, a lot of money, without being fully committed, without mastering skills and continuing to innovate and grow as an individual?
No. Then they're not really committed, you know? So I think they're going to lose it. I think they could do that for a while.
And then lose it, yeah.
Yeah. Then they're going to, it's going to, what happens now?
Yeah. What do you think people struggle with the most in making money? Is it that
I think they're trying to find what they love. You know, everybody's going for what they love, the love thing. This is another misnomer in our society. Because
you made a lot of money doing something you didn't love.
Exactly. Everybody's like, find something you love, the money will. Tom told that to somebody yesterday at Starbucks. You know, Tom works with me, and some dude just got off the shift at Chevron, 12-hour shift. And then Tom, my guy Tom, you know, who helps us around the family, is giving this guy Chevron advice about, dude, don't take that job. Go do something you love. I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about, Tom. Quit telling people shit. Okay? You got no business. You're a security here, bro. Mm-hmm. Okay? Don't give people advice like that. That's dumb. He's like, why is it dumb? I said, bro, you can't just do what you love. People have to do the other stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have a military, man. There would be no Marines, no Navy, no Coast Guard, no policemen, no firemen, if all you did was what you loved, right? Somebody's got to do the dirty stuff, man. Somebody's got to do the hard stuff. So I think, you know, and this is where I'm trying to be more Lewis Howes, graceful, you know. I think, you know, that people should follow freedom, man. You know, that freedom, and in that freedom, in that chapter on freedom would be, you ain't getting freedom without money. Just not going to happen. And so, you know.
Do the thing that can make you the most money. And if you love it as well, then it's a bonus.
You know, at least you'll have some options with the stuff you love. Okay, Van Gogh loved art. He never told anybody about it. Selfish, completely selfish. Okay. So many artists go down like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an artist. I'm not a salesman. Dude, you died and sold one piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What a damn shame. Okay? How can you produce such unbelievable works and never tell anybody about it? Because you're so freaking self-centered and selfish, okay? And so introverted into self that you're not willing to go out and say, look at this, right? Oh, I don't want to brag. Again, you're talking about yourself. The guy's selfish. All these people say, well, I'm an introvert. You're selfish, man. Let's call it what it is. Because when you're talking about your introversion, you're assuming no one else is. You're saying that it's not easy for anybody. Like it's not easy for you, but everybody else it is. Everything is about yourself right now when you're saying that. I don't like sales. Selfish. I don't like talking to people. Selfish. I don't like public speaking. You're talking about yourself again, dude. I don't need money. You're selfish, dude. Okay. Your church, your community, the kids, people need money. Okay. Well, that's not who I am. You're talking about yourself again. See, and Like I could quit working right now. I don't need to do this today. What, financially, I'm done. I can't exhaust it. But it would be selfish of me to stop, right? Elon Musk, he's an unselfish dude. That's what I know about him for sure. He's a genius and he's unselfish. Perfect combination.
He's trying to move the world forward.
Yeah.
With his gifts, his talents. Yeah. His...
He doesn't have to do that.
Yeah. He's made a lot of money.
Yeah. Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's on TV all the time. By the way, all these super, super successful dudes, they're completely doing what your parents said not to do. Getting a lot of attention. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is Mark Cuban on TV 3 or 4 or 5 times a week?
Right.
Okay. And then we'll take every interview they give him.
Yeah.
Because he knows attention equals freedom. Attention equals I can start moving the bar here on the way people do things. Not just money, right? But but power and influence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get bored if you just stop today anyways.
Yeah, dude. I get,
you get a lot of trouble. You said she won't let you stop, right?
She won't. She keeps pushing on me.
Yeah.
Because she knows if I don't. That was a good piece that came out in the thing the other night. But it was Elena pushes me. Elena's the one. She's the one that wants me to be a billionaire. I don't really think about it that much.
Really?
I think it's kind of stupid. but because what are you going to do with it? You know?
Right.
She's the one that says, no, you need to do it. Really, why? I mean, it's a number. It's ridiculous. You can't spend that much money, right? And she's like, no, you need to do it because you can. One, you're close. Two, you can. And three, you need a goal so big, right? That you're chasing that you're so interested in that you're excited and you're living and you're youthful and you're, you know, you got a lot of, and by the way, you're not consuming meat. You don't turn into a carnivore because you're bored. Mm-hmm. And she's right, because every time in my life when I'm bored, I become destructive.
You get nasty, negative.
I get nasty, dude. I get nasty. I get, because I'm not being productive, man. Work is a, I think work is a gift. Is the gift that doesn't look like a gift from God. You know, that people all talk about. They don't want to work. They hate work. They hate their job. Dude, I love my jobs, you know. I love jobs. I love having a place to work. Mm-hmm. I've been out of work, you know. I'll take any job. I'd rather any job than no job. I'd go flip hamburgers. Mm-hmm. I like doing dirty jobs. Mike Rowe, I love Mike Rowe, you know, because he'll do the dirty job.
Yeah.
And I trust people that will do dirty jobs. And I don't trust people that's like, oh, J-O-B, just over broke. Dude, you're broke now. If you even know that freaking term, you're broke now.
Right.
Okay?
Wow. What's the thing that you think about the most that most people don't know about?
Probably dying, you know?
What do you think about?
Dude, running out of time. I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about just running out of time. Like, damn.
Running out of time to do what?
For anybody to know me, you know, to have made a difference. Like, to, you know, my dad died when he was 52. So he had just what he thought was just made it. He just made it. You know, him and my mom were like celebrating. Oh, we made it. He bought the house he wanted. And in 18 months later, he was dead.
Mm. You
know? So, and then I watched my older brother. He was 20, 25, I guess. I was 20. He was 25. He died when he was 25. And I'm like, dude, man, this thing's short. This runway's short.
Your older brother died at 25.
He was, I'm talking to him Sunday night, getting advice from him. I'm 20. I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He was in Grand Junction, Colorado on a Sunday night. I said, man, you think I should do it, man? You think I should do it? He's like, don't do it, man. Don't do it. He was dead the next morning. So I just, like, my whole life, I'm 59. Dude, I've been thinking I was going to die since I was like 18. Like, okay, I got a couple more years.
Wow.
So you'll see me like, I still have this, I'm in a hurry to get someplace, you know.
Urgency. I think life is now.
Push, huh?
Life is now. It's not 10 years from now.
That's right.
Now is the time to make a decision. Yeah. Now is the time to push. Now is the time to be more aggressive and go for what you want.
Yeah.
And get freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. And 10 years from now, the results of what you get 10 years from now is going to be what you did right now.
Yeah.
So like in my office, everything is now, you know. Hey, did you send that deal in? No, I'm going to get to it. No, you ain't going to get to it, dude. We're going to do it right now.
Right.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
And I think I shared something with your group the other night about anytime the people that work with me are overwhelmed, we add something.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it proves to everybody, dude.
You're not overwhelmed.
come on, you're in drama, dude. You're being like a little girl right now.
Right.
Okay. Ladies, please don't take offense to that. I love little girls. Okay. I have two of them and they're like princesses. But I teach my little girls, don't act like a little girl. Sometimes you got to throw down, dude.
Wow. And I love how you do every single day. Everything is measured and everything is tracked and everything is talked about publicly with your team. I think you said you have 50 or 60 people on the team.
Yeah.
So at 9:05 every single morning, the whole team is there. What if someone's late? Is that okay? Or is it?
No.
No. So everyone's there. 9:05.
Yeah, I think that happens twice. Second time you did.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
So everyone's there. And then you list out a number of stats, right? And what are some of the things you guys list out?
Everything that would be validation of success, you know? So like your wall here, right? All the people that came in here, you know, that's a validation. That's a reminder. Hey, this is working. We don't talk about anything negative in the meeting. Zero. No administrative. Somebody mentioned the insurance or the carrier or something like that. We don't do that in this meeting, okay? Mm-hmm. This meeting is
results
about
meeting.
All the battles we won, okay? If 17 people died, that will not be reported in this meeting. This is going to be all the hills that we took, right? So it's going to be YouTube views. It's going to be Instagram followers, all the way down to calls, contacts, call time. Like we hit every front. We'll knock on a door. We'll call cold. We'll use technology.
Mm-hmm. Everything you talk, say sales numbers from the previous day as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. And I loved how you said that you're constantly looking to execute people. Is that right? I think I said it.
Totally, totally. That's
so right. if it's not going up,
they call
for
me
you,
General Grant.
General Grant. If sales are not going up or numbers are not going up, then you're looking for.
We look for somebody that I'm sorry to interrupt you.
But you're good.
No, we look for somebody to execute. So we do not tolerate a flat number. So if I go to a company, I'm like, how you guys doing? You know, oh man, we're on track to do what we did last quarter. You're dying, dude. You understand you're dying, right? You know, that you can't keep a flat line. A flat line, gravity will pull a flat line down.
Mm.
So all flat lines are death, basically.
Wow.
You know, that's flat line. He's flatlining. You know, so flat lines for me, like I'm dying. And I've been there, by the way. I had a couple companies actually. I let flatline for a while, and then I paid the price of that. So I'm like, I'll never let that happen.
I think
again.
It's also like a psychological thing. You just get less inspired. You're less motivated. You're not seeing growth.
Totally, dude. You know, and this has happened in newspapers. It's happened in TV. Happened to Macy's. And nobody wants to pay attention to it. You know, it happened to Blockbuster. They just kept saying for years, no, it's coming back. We're coming back. No, you're not, dude. It's over. Okay. So flat lines are also for households. Households in America. By the way, economy defined is the management of a household by definition. And the reason I say this is because when I'm talking about graphs right now, I have this visual image of the graph of the median income in America, and it's going just like this. It was flat for years. It was doing like this for back in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it flattened out, and now it's doing this.
Really?
It's in this major emergency trend right here.
Wow.
And it's been like this for like 18 years now, just like doing just like this. You can't reverse this trend, by the way. It's too many people responsible for it.
Wow.
So people need to be, this is the middle class that everybody thinks is safe. Okay. If they told you the truth, they would say, this is a poverty line today. Because that's what it will be tomorrow.
Wow.
So, and these are the people, 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So they're not looking at this graph. They're like, I'm better off than the guy that's homeless because I got my two BMWs and I got my two kids going to two good schools in debt
both. They're all in debt. Yeah.
Like up to here, right? Mm. Oh, but my house, it's almost paid for in 15 years. It's going to be paid for. Dude, those are three major scams in America. The house puffed up the banks,
mm-hmm.
right? The schools, the college debt, $1.3 trillion. Tremendous amount of Wall Street money sitting here. That's all pension fund money.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's denying this graph right here because we're better off than people in Ethiopia. So that's why I look at graphs, right? Because numbers don't lie. People lie.
Yeah.
Numbers don't lie.
That is true. Biggest failure you've ever experienced and the biggest lesson you learned from it?
Biggest failure.
Personally, professionally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, man, so many failures. Like, you know, I wasted so many years, 9 years on drugs. That was a big failure.
The big lesson, though.
The lesson there is
don't be on drugs.
any drug, dude.
Yeah. Okay?
Like any, like I'm telling you, these drugs are so dangerous. You know, because particularly if you have a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't use drugs, man. Number two, another mistake was, you know, and I was too conservative with money for too long.
I listened
to my rich uncle. He was a millionaire uncle. I listened to my millionaire uncle had too much of an influence for too long over my life. I should have been watching what the billionaires do. They don't operate like millionaires.
How do they operate differently?
They throw down. Totally different. Like the think is completely different. Mm. They don't worry about quarters. The millionaires worried about quarters. He's a miser. They're misers. I know people worth $4 and $5 million. They're total misers. Total, like, degraded. They're as bad off as the freaking guy on a street corner. Mm. You know? Won't give anybody anything. Won't share anything. Looks for every shortcut, every sale. Well, I know a guy that's a car dealer that he must own 25 car dealerships. Probably makes, I don't know, $400 or $500. He's got to be worth $1 billion.
Really?
He goes twice a year and gets one of his employees to get a new Macy's card so he can get an extra 15% off.
Really?
Freaking complete insanity. You know, he's probably a billionaire on paper, but not a billionaire in his heart. Because the real players, the real guys, they'll go out and buy a jet. That's why I bought a jet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, my millionaire uncle would never buy a jet. That's a bad investment. But the billionaires, they all own them. Why? Because they value time more than money. Right, they want to buy time
because it doesn't make sense financially for you.
No,
you're losing money on
totally all jets go to zero. Mm-hmm. So when you buy a jet for $60 million, you know that jet's going to zero. One day it's going to be in some salvage, some joint somewhere being taken apart for parts. So all jets go to zero. So you know when you're buying it, it's going down to zero. It's not going to be worth more money.
But the things it brings you,
but dude, it buys you time. It buys you. A jet is not like a boat, by the way. A jet can get you to business. Mm-hmm. People go to boats. Jets go to people. And so I can just tell you, we bought that jet 2 years ago. I paid for it the first year.
From the deals you got, the time you
saved. It got me to new places. Yeah. And it got me a better quality of life because now my kids are with me, you know, hanging out. And,
yeah. Peace of mind as well. Yeah.
So big failures. I did business with a guy when I was 45 years old that I shouldn't have done business with. That was a huge, huge mistake. And big lesson I got from that, though, was, you know, I'm not, I know what's true. I know when I see the indicators on a dude, I don't need anybody to tell me he's all right or not all right. I know what I know.
Trust the intuition.
Yeah.
Trust your discernment.
And what I see, not just the feeling, but like people do certain things. Bad guys do and bad women, they can't hide it. They do certain things.
Yeah.
If you just pay attention, everybody that's ever been in a bad relationship with somebody that left them with a worse situation, there was some clue along the way that you just denied. Mm-hmm. Later, you're like, damn, I knew it, man.
Exactly.
I knew she had something. I knew he had something, you know, and now they gave it to me. Like that old saying, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Vegas,
yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Chlamydia will go with you everywhere.
It's true.
Right.
Images will go online of what happened.
Exactly.
Social media.
How about mental images?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Biggest thing that's holding you back right now that's holding you back from reaching the next level?
Man, I don't know. Courage, probably, you know.
You don't think you have enough courage?
I think I could use a dash more.
Really? Yeah. What would you say is the biggest thing that holds him back from reaching to what his potential is in the next, you know, year or right now? Zero. Nothing's holding him back?
That's my wife. She believes in me.
Wow.
You know?
Why do you say courage?
I mean, well, because you know, rather than bragging about the, you know, $90 million deal I'm going to do, I could go figure out how to do $900 million at one time. You know? But instead, I'm going to take the layup.
Why are you taking the layup and not going to slam dunk?
Because, man, dude, that's a big deal. 90 million is a big deal.
Heck yeah.
Right? I'm like, damn, that's huge. A big deal, dude. Like, but if I was going to look, if I look back over my career, right, that's what I've been doing the whole time. I've been making the layups, even though they look like, oh, goddamn, that's huge, right? But what are we comparing? We're just doing the middle class comparison thing.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is going to Mars, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're like, there's no life there. We'll create it. We'll put two fusion bombs above it, and we'll freaking explode them, and maybe something will happen. I'm like, damn, that's big. That's see, crazy. And that's why, man, that's the people you want to learn from.
Yeah.
Not just anybody and everybody online. People should be inspired by just two or three or four people like that, that the think is so enormous, right? So anyway, rather than doing the $90 million deal, I should like, hey, why don't I just go do 10 of those at one time? 900.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 10X thing, it doesn't really, there is no end to the 10X.
No, because like once you're there, then it's another 10X.
Well, 10 is, and the X is a multiplier.
Yeah.
So most people miss that in the book. They're like, oh, it's 10X. You got to 10X everything. I'm like, dude, the X is a multiplication symbol. It's 10 times, right? And it doesn't end. It just keeps timing. So, you know that song I think Jay-Z does? He's like 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 5 million. No, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 20 million. I'm so good at math. Because he's jumping. He's looking for leaps. And so I would go do a $900 million deal. That would be awesome.
What's it going to take for you to go do that now?
Courage and a heavy pitch. I mean, I need a whipping cream pitch.
I feel like you got it. I think you got both of those, don't you?
I need a whipping cream pitch, dude. Heavy, heavy whipping cream. And you just got that. And I need some dough, dude.
Oh, you need money to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I need 100. I need 225 million.
So who's got your money?
That's right. That's the battle cry.
Who's got the money?
You see, this is good, dude. You got me all jacked up, man. I'm going to make you a piece of this deal.
Who's got the 100
million? This happened right here in the house of greatness.
Who's got the 100 million that you can go get?
Yeah, I can get the 225. The 225 is not the problem. It's like, can I go pitch?
Who do you need to pitch to?
I need to pitch to a group.
Which group?
I need to find somebody that needs me on the ground. You know,
who needs
Chinese, Chinese, Japanese.
There's no one here locally.
This deal could be. You know, I need to go think that way. See now, damn, dude, the school of greatness.
That's why people come here.
Huh?
That's why people come here.
It's big, dude, because see now, here's the problem with me. Once I bite the apple, I don't let go of it.
Yeah.
I can't. I'll never be able to get off this 900 now.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you're playing small.
Yeah.
I feel like you've been playing, like you play big to the, like so many people that watch you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Knowing you and being around your energy and seeing how you do events, I'm just like, damn, Grant is just like throwing it down and it's so easy for him. They look big, but it's not that big for you.
You're right, dude.
It's so small.
Dude.
Compared to what I know you're capable of.
Dude.
And I see like the confidence that you have in the way you
pitch.
Dude,
why are you talking dirty to me?
The confidence you have in the way you pitch.
Elaine, I'm about to cheat on you right now.
I'm serious, though.
She's like, she'd be like, let's roll.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The confidence I have, when I watch your videos of you just on the phone with someone selling, like, whether it's a $500 package to a $500,000 package.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have so much, there's just nothing that holds you back. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand. It's just a couple extra zeros.
Nobody even knows anything.
It's the same deal.
It's the same deal.
Between a $2 sticker and a $2 million deal, it's the same deal. And you got the courage and the energy to make it happen already. So I don't know what the hell you're waiting for.
It's wrong, dude.
Who's got your money? Go give them a call right now.
Dude, there's so much money on this planet.
So much.
It's unbelievable.
I want to commit. Here's what I want.
See, but look, when we start having these conversations, this is like I'm at a campfire.
Here's the thing.
I feel like I need a marshmallow right now. we're toasting the marshmallows, and you're my camp teacher, right? this is getting weird, right? Okay. Hey, what are you doing in my camping bag? That's weird. Okay. So I'm in here. I'm roasting my marshmallows, and you're like, hey, man, dude. And I'm like, dude. And the stars are out there, and it's dark, and it's nice. No mosquitoes, though.
Oh, I hate mosquitoes.
Oh, I hate them, man. We went to St. Bart's, man. There were so many mosquitoes.
I can't go. No, mosquitoes love me. I can't do it.
Do they do?
I can't go anywhere.
Then you have
anywhere.
To come.
Oh, no.
Because if they love you, they'll stay off of me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, so you see, you just changed my life.
Here's
bro.
The thing I want to...
And this is the beautiful thing about being around people like you.
Uh-huh.
You know, getting around the right people.
Yeah, yeah. I want a commitment from you of a date this year that you're going to land a $900 million deal.
Man, I can't do that this year, dude. I mean,
why not?
We don't need to put a date on it, okay? I don't need to put a date on it, but I can say that.
I want to know by when.
Yeah.
Whether it's this
year, I could
year
probably pull this off.
Or next year.
Yeah, I could pull this off. I could probably pull this off. Well, one, I guarantee you I'll pull it off in my lifetime.
Yeah, but why not this year? Why does it have to be 3-5 more years?
I'm the one with the jet, bitch. I'll take time out of the equation. Trust me, man. I see the target. Once I see the target, okay, right. It's how fast can we get there now?
Yeah, so how fast?
So you inspired me, bro. I'm going to give you, I think we should give him like a small percentage of this deal, don't you?
I don't need anything. I want the satisfaction that you're going to
create.
Now,
why you say that?
Because I know.
I'm offering it to you.
Well, if you want to give it to me, I'll take it.
Shit, man. That'd be good, dude. That'd be good.
I'll take it.
That'd be good. You know how much mileage we could get out of that?
I'm in. Whatever you want to give me, I'll take it. But
I tell you what I'll do. I'll do the $900 million deal, and I'll do it within 36 months.
36.
Yeah. And I'll try to take time out of that. And when I do it, by the way, I'll come back here, okay? And I'll make it available on social media while we're doing the deal.
That'd be huge. I would love to see
it. I won't close the doors, okay? So now I also have to figure out how to get a group to let me actually make it visible, and they don't like that. Because you know how all these rich people, they go behind the curtain? You know, they get rich, and they're like, okay, now we're going dark.
Right. Maybe don't announce who they are or something, but yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see you see it shrink that in half the time.
18 months? That's the number.
I was thinking 18 months. You're just playing. Do I have to get safe right now?
Do I have to?
I don't know. I don't know why you're waiting.
Yeah.
You got everything at your disposal
I need money. I need $225. I need $225 million.
There's a few guys who have that, right? That you can
give me the money.
But
I need the property. I need $900 million worth of property. So that's 9,000 apartments. That's what that is. 9,000 apartments.
Doesn't seem like that many. How many you got right now?
I got 4,000. So I got to do
almost a little more than double.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, man. Seems like nothing.
Yeah, man.
Let's go, baby.
Get me on Ellen.
Let's go. She's not going to do it for you.
No.
You're going to do it for you.
She won't have me on the show either.
Exactly. I like this. Okay, let's.
You're a fucking carnivore.
Let's go over a few more.
We don't have carnivores on the show. This is daytime TV, man.
Let's do a few more questions.
Okay. I love you. I love you, Lewis. Everybody out there in podcast land, okay, you got to give Lewis some super props. Awesome dude, man. Awesome dude.
I appreciate it. Let's talk about balance.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's people listening right now who are thinking, like, Grant is crazy.
Yeah.
He's got everything he wants. He's got more money than I could ever dream of. This seems unrealistic.
Yeah, it was good, that conversation we just had, though.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like I was with my priest.
Yes. Does he have a balanced life? He's got two kids. Do his kids ever see him? Does his wife ever see him? Is it just about money all day long? Or is there anything else that's invaluable to his life?
Dude, I spend more time with my kids than 99% of the people I know. I spend more time with my wife than 99.9% of all the husbands out there. So you guys judging me from freaking 56 miles away, you know, you don't know what I do, you know. People be like, man, do you ever sleep? I sleep more than most human beings, okay? You guys don't see all that because you see what I do when I'm awake, right? So I'm the guy that's on Snapchat with my kids and getting hated on for that. Oh, why you got your three-year-old? Because she's in my life. I mean, what, should I put her in a closet?
Right.
You know? Oh, man, you got your wife on there. Yeah, dude, I got my wife on there. You know what? I'm proud of my wife, okay? Yeah, I'm doing my life. I'm not doing a Snapchat or a YouTube video or a real estate deal. I'm doing my life. So when you challenge me with the $900 million, the first thing I'm doing, like, I don't know if you saw my whole head just spinning off right here, dude. I was like, I'm just going through all the calculations, time, money, where's it going to happen? Who do I got to pitch? I mean, I'm glad I came here. I don't know if anybody else will get anything out of this. I guarantee you, I'm going to make more money than there's going to be views.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm inspired. So, yeah, I got plenty of balance. You know, I'm just not in search of it.
Right.
I'm doing my life.
Yeah, you incorporate it.
I'm doing
it
my
all.
Life.
It's all together. Yeah. And you're,
see,
you're working
I take
out
whatever
daily.
I take whatever, you know, I take whatever, whatever's on the table is what I take. So I just take whatever's there.
Yeah.
You know, what I mean by that is I'm not trying to spin plates. I'm not trying to manage an activity. Time management is another management activity. It is completely ridiculous that people without time would try to manage it. Like, dude, you can't even manage what you have now. Why would you end up with another task?
Right.
Now, time, man, now I got to manage my time. Okay. So, you know, I know Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week. I don't know why. Every time I say time management, I think about Tim Ferriss. I'm like, dude, that's just dumb. Ain't nobody ever done a 4-hour work week. I'd kill myself. Might be the cause of depression. Like, stay busy. Mm-hmm. Stay busy. You won't put a gun in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no purpose.
Run from one thing to the next thing as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, man, but what about life balance? You're selfish. See, we're back to talking to you about yourself again, you know, rather than sometimes I don't want to do the kids, you know, this will get me a bad father check mark. Mm-hmm. Dude, I tell Elaine all the time, I'm like, but you ain't got to be with them all the time. Okay. They're 5 and 7. Nobody likes a kid that long. Okay. Come on. Nobody would like a 5-year-old kid that long.
24/7. Yeah.
Huh?
24/7. Yeah.
Now, it's not good TV, but it's true. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I have a life where I get to spend the time with them I want to spend with them, where I'm the good father, and then I'm done. Okay? I know this sounds terrible, but that's what I want. And by the way, they're going to be done with me before I'm done with them anyway.
Right.
It's not like they want 2 hours of papa.
Right. You they're also their video game or exactly. Watching a movie or playing with their friends.
Exactly. So, but I do want good time with them. Mm. So what I do is I create situations where I get to go spend good quality time with them. Buying the jet was one thing. That was a completely unselfish thing to do. So my kids could be on that plane with me, running up and down the aisles like little maniacs, you know, swinging between the seats and doing their deal. And they don't have to put seat belts on and nobody's telling them to sit down. And the food's good. And they get to get on the microphone with the captain. Welcome to 10X Airlines, where everyone gets to do whatever they want. My kids do this interview. We should get them a copy of that to play in the show. Candy for everyone, right? So my kids get to do that, dude, because and my kids are not spoiled, by the way. Okay. They exchange with us in big ways. But that's what I mean about create the life you want, man, so you can have not balance, but life, right? I'm doing my life. I don't do jobs. I do my life. So coming here to be with you today adds quality to my life. I didn't come this to spread the Grant Cardone name. I spend time with Lewis House because it makes Grant's life. Yeah.
I like him.
Come on, man.
What's a non-negotiable for you every single day you must do?
Yeah.
That you feel like you have, no matter what, whether it's prayer or being with your
5 days of workouts, man, I'm feeling kind of shredded, right? Shredded executive.
You do look lean, man.
Huh?
You look really lean.
No, thank you, man. I'm working on it.
And you're, how old are you? You're almost 60, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's
crazy, dude.
Staying youthful.
It's crazy. Let's see. Non-negotiables.
Something you got to do every single day.
Yeah, I don't really think like that, but I do like the question. I don't really think like that.
Like, is working out something you feel like you
must
do? Yeah,
I'd like to, but you know, I can give up on it without, you know. It is right now. For the next 3 or 4 weeks, I will work out every day. Mm-hmm. A non-negotiable.
It's like you got to kiss your wife. You got to tuck your kids to the bed. You know,
Nah. I don't think like that. I think, you know, I know what you're getting me, you know. Dude, I push myself so hard. I don't have a list of non-negotiable. Yeah. I just like when people talk about beast, I mean, if anybody ever wants to give me a compliment, call me a beast. Because that is the thing that I most relate to, this beast like. Not a hustle, not a grind, but beast mode. I am machine-like. I think Terminator, I'm like, dude, I like the Terminator. I am machine-like.
Yeah.
I am very machine-like.
Yeah.
I think about this, you know. I have tremendous work ethic. Mm-hmm. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk tried to, he's like, I outwork you, Grant. I'm like, dude, people that outwork other people don't talk about it. Mm. Okay? I mean, that's not work.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have bragging rights on who works the most, okay? You either are in beast mode or you're not. And so there's no reason to, like, I get the big title for – he works his ass off, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and so do I. And everybody could do more. Everybody can work more, and it won't kill you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I want people to get this book. You have lots of books.
Dude, they
can
get this book free. I'm giving 1 million of these books away.
You're giving it away?
1 million.
It's called The Millionaire Booklet, How to Get Super Rich.
Yeah, yeah.
How do they get it then?
Go to millionairebooklet.com/free.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to give 1 million of these away. All I ask people to do, they'll pay the shipping. Mm-hmm. Okay. All I ask people to do. So
a couple, couple bucks or something. What's the shipping?
Whatever shipping is. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's not shipping and handling either. It's just shipping. Mm-hmm. I got the handling. I'll take care of the handling. You take care of the shipping.
Yep.
Now, if you live in Ethiopia and the shipping's $36, dude, check with your government. Okay. I mean, if it's in Canada and it's $18, that ain't me. Okay. That's your freaking dumbass government that's overcharging you for shipping. Mm-hmm. All right. But better to pay the shipping and get the book free than pay for the book. But
I read that you sent me an early copy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was at your office and you were like, I had like a PDF printed or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Before they were printed.
Yeah.
And I read it on a flight. I think I was flying to Argentina. This was a year ago.
That's right. You were going to that soccer.
I was playing team handball, USA team.
Oh, yeah, handball,
And we were flying from Miami, so I stopped by your place for like an hour before the flight, and I read it, and I gave it to a couple of the guys on the team after I was done because I was like, these kids are not making anything.
Yeah, yeah.
$10 an hour or something. Yeah. I was like, you got to read this, and it's a game changer, man. You know, even if you feel
simple
like...
Simple book.
So simple. What is it, man? 50,
Let me tell you why I made it like that, okay? Because I was out, and I'd give somebody a book at a conference, and they'd be like, "Dude, I can't. What am I going to do with the book?" You know. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, the next one was like,
"This inspires me. I want to create a little like."
Damon John, I showed that to Damon John. He's like, "Dude, that's smart."
Inspires me. Yes, the Millionaire Booklet: How to Get Super Rich. I mean, you're talking about multiple streams of income. You say you'd have a chapter called "Stay Broke." Who's got my money? How to a millionaire math, the millionaire decision, just like everything about making money, the mindset behind it, the process, the steps, it's all in here. I highly recommend you guys.
Without it being about Wall Street or investing or
things you can control.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So go get this book. But you've got tons of books, tons of products.
All I ask for people to do is this with the book. Okay. Get the book. Don't buy it. I'll send it to you. The first million people.
Yep.
If you love it, just buy one book for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Do it. Get 10 of them.
And pay it forward.
Yeah, get 10 of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Then I'll sell a million books at $14. I'll make $14 million.
There you go.
Kind of smart. But I'm going to help people.
Yeah. Is it the Millionaire Booklet or Millionaire Booklet?
Millionairebooklet.com.
/free.
/free.
And you've got an amazing event.
You can read it in 20 minutes.
Less than.
Okay. Unless you're Ryan. Captain Ryan's with me. It took him 2 days.
Yeah.
He said, dude, it took me 2 hours to write that book. It took you 2 days to read it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Get off the medication.
Exactly.
Something's wrong with you, man.
You've got a ton of other stuff going on. Make sure you guys follow Grant at Grant Cardone everywhere. Super entertaining on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much anywhere you want to go. You're going to get something insightful from Grant anytime he goes live, anytime he posts something. I'm always checking out what you're doing, and I'm bragging about how amazing Grant Cardone is. So make sure you watch and follow everything that he does right now. A couple final questions for you,
please.
One is called the three truths.
Uh-oh.
The three truths. And this is if he's posting it up on Snapchat or something. Yes.
Yeah.
This is the three truths.
If
it was the last day for you right now.
Yeah.
And
you would make me cry, man.
All of your work has been erased.
Look, I didn't get that $900 million.
Say it's your last day 50 years from now. Whatever,
okay,
right?
Okay.
It's your last day. Okay, you're 100 and whatever.
Yeah.
You've achieved everything you want.
Yeah.
The $900 million was like the tiniest little deal you've ever done.
Right. You're that's doing what we lost. That's what we lose in one day now.
Exactly. You're doing $900 billion deal, right?
Yeah.
You've written a million books, everything you've done. And for whatever reason, all your information and content is erased.
Oh, yeah.
Gone.
Oh, that'd
they
be
don't
a problem.
Get the Millionaire Booklet. They don't get
I didn't put anything on titanium 10X. Plates.
Yes. It's all gone for whatever reason.
Yeah.
No more videos,
nothing. No more.
Mr. You have a
nice.
Piece of paper and a pen to write down three things you know to be true about all of the lessons and experiences you've had in your life.
Uh-huh.
That's the only
that's a
thing.
Question, dude. How'd you come up with this, man?
I can't remember when I started asking it.
Okay.
But you'd only have three things to share and nothing else they would have to remember you by.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go to a different place here. Okay.
No. And this is your message to the world.
Yeah.
Three truths. What would you say?
Oh, man, dude. Like, let's see. What would I say, man? I don't know. Dude, make a difference. You know, make a difference for the better. You know, number two, you know, become the real you. You know, and the real you, meaning all the parts of you, you know, no matter how uncomfortable it is. And number three, what would I tell people? Dude, go hard all the time. You know, don't wait till you're in a jam.
I like it. Those are good truths.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I want to take a moment to acknowledge you, Grant, for being an incredible beast at everything you do, because I know you like that.
Thank you.
But also for leading the way for so many people who follow you online.
Yeah,
I mean, people are scared, afraid. They don't have the courage. They don't have the steps. They don't have a lot of things they need to get to the next level. And you are providing it by taking action and being an example.
Yeah.
So many people need to recognize the example you're making, whether they love you or hate you or don't like your approach, whatever it is. You're leading an example of how to get results.
Yeah.
And you're making a difference and an impact in your team, your community, your family, your church, which I know is important to you, and the world.
Yeah.
And I think it should be acknowledged that it's a great example for the rest of us to see how we can push forward and be a beast in our own way.
Yeah.
We're not going to be the same as you or as aggressive as you, but a way that we can get results that it works for us. So I want to acknowledge you for leading the way, for setting the example, and for being a great human being.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Appreciate you saying that.
Of course. Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
I think it would be, you know, very similar to how I would define success, you know, just continuing to reach for your full potential. You know, you're the only one that knows it. You know, my mom used to tell me, I'd tell my mom, I'm going to go do this deal and I'm going to do this deal. I was all excited. She'd be the first person I would call. And she'd be like, well, Grant, that's great. But, you know, I love you just the way you are. And I'd hang up and I'd be like, yeah, but I don't. I want to reach my full potential. You know, that is, I think the great people, I think about all the great people, dude, they were always reaching for more. They were never satisfied. You know, so when people are like, oh, when are you ever going to be satisfied? Dude, the great ones are never satisfied. Okay. It's the mediocre people that have some box called satisfaction. And they're going to somehow get the house or the cars. The great guys, the great ones, Jesus Christ wouldn't have been satisfied, man. Muhammad wouldn't have been satisfied. He wanted to get his message out to everybody, right? The Jehovah Witness. They're like, I'm not satisfied. I'm knocking on another door. You know, make fun of them. Probably the same thing could be said for those, whoever that has this unbelievable commitment to get their message out or their word or what they believe in. You know, I think those people are seeking their full potential.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Grant Cardone, my man. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you. Oh, my greats. I hope you enjoyed this one. If you thought it was as interesting and powerful as I did, then make sure to share this with your friends, lewishouse.com/497. Tag me on Instagram stories and let me know what you thought. Tag Grant Cardone as well over on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Let me know what you enjoyed the most out of this, what you took away from this the most. Post it to your friends online. Let's spread this message far and wide. And as always, all the show notes and the full video interview is back at lewishouse.com/497, back on the site. I love you very much, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Nothing beats attending a live event. SeatGeek's site is easy to navigate, so you're able to select the best seats to see your favorite artists with confidence. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app on the Apple App Store. There are more than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. Plus, your tickets are backed by a buyer guarantee. Download the SeatGeek app and use code GREATNESS20 to get $20 off your first purchase. Offer applies to new customers only. Purchase must be over $50. The promo code is single use and valid through September 30th, 2024. Get tickets on SeatGeek now.